out who is God's son. No person with a bad life can tell me they have a good spirit. I'll never buy it. You have a bad life, you don't have a good spirit. You have a life of a rebel in the path of God, you don't have a good spirit. You have a life as a criminal, you don't have a good spirit. You can't tell me you have peace, you don't have it. You can't have peace, no way for you to have peace. It's only when you are trying to be good, when you're trying to be right, will you have peace. And that registers in the spirit, not necessarily in the mind. And ultimately, everything corrects itself because of the spiritual factor, not because of the rational factor. Because of the spiritual factor. Help from the rational factor, but first the change must come in the spirit. Then the rational can follow that spirit, the direction in the spirit. Can help the direction in the spirit by giving the assistance. The world was in darkness, in ignorance, and it was out of step with material reality. It was going counter the truth for the material world. The truth, the reality. It was going counter that reality. It was in conflict with that reality. This was the Gnostic era. This was the blind church era. Yes, we know that. And what happened? A man strained because of burden on his heart. He didn't say his mind was burdened. Certainly his mind was burdened, but where was the burden really taking effect? On his heart. That's where it was taking effect. Not really up here or more than here, on his heart. And he went up into the mountain of the north. In Medina, in Mecca, pardon me, Muhammad, the prophet, peace be upon him. He went up there to get away from the world, to be alone and away from things. And God says, and he caused it to descend upon his heart. Revelation came down upon his heart. He went there because of a burned heart, and God says, and he caused it to descend upon his heart. He revealed it upon his heart. His heart. And he went through very, very trying spiritual experience. Huh? Yes. It was very trying for him because he didn't understand. He didn't know. His spirit was strained, disturbed, pressured to great extremes. He experienced great extremes of strain, turmoil in his spirit. They say he would break out in heavy sweats when he was experiencing this. And what happened? Revelation came to him eventually. Revelation came to him by way of Jibreel, right? The angel, Jibreel. Revelation came to him. And now, we can't understand. We are not made to understand that level of, I would say, ascension for the soul of man. Prophet understood. Understand that, because they ascended that to that height. But let's come down some. Let's come down some to our level of experience. You, maybe. Me, yes, I know I did. Strange, because of something in my spirit. Belief in my spirit that this ain't right. My mind couldn't explain it. My mind couldn't come up with the answers. But my mind was burdened because my spirit was burdened. Others that I knew in the same situation with me in terms of environmental conditions, language, environment, and everything else, they were in the same environment with me. but they were not disturbed. They were comfortable. Their minds were not troubled. Their minds were comfortable. My mind was not comfortable because my spirit was not comfortable. My soul was not comfortable. The spiritual life of Wallace D. Muhammad was not comfortable. So because of that, my mind started to work to bring my spirit into some kind of state of ease, some kind of state of peace. So my mind started to work, questioning this, questioning that, trying to understand this, trying to understand that, trying to put things together, one and two together, you know? So that's what started to happen. My mind wasn't dictating this to my spirit. My spirit was dictating this to my mind. Yes. My mind knows how to make adjustments and get relief, rationalize. I had been doing that. So my spirit said, I can't take no more of this bull. I had been doing that. Oh, yeah, I knew how to do it very well. Some of you who came in when I was a minister on Greenwood in Chicago, you know I could do it very well. So you became a member of the Nation of Islam after hearing me do it so well. Yeah, I make fiction sound like truth. I get rational support for it, you know. And thought I was pretty straight, you know. Thought I was had real facts backing me up. But every time I fixed up something, I go to sleep with it, wake up the next day, it's trouble again. I went to sleep on this, I thought it was all right, you know. I took this pill, it was all right last night. Now I wake up, I got the same ailment. I got to start all over again with another rationalization. And finally, the spirit said, hey, you got to throw all that crap out the window. You cannot make it jail. And that's what I did. I had to throw it all away. I said, well, it's all bad. It can't work. It's all wrong. Not to be understood like that. Doesn't make sense. Not in the real man's language. The real world language. Doesn't make sense. I had to throw it away to find my peace. So, so that was the spirit making my mind uncomfortable with what it believes. Spirit making my mind uncomfortable with what it believes. So God says, and never will a change come in your condition until you first change what is bothering your soul, what is disturbing your soul, or what is on your soul, means what is a burden on your soul. So God does not change what is troubling your people, or what is bothering your people, until they change what is bothering their own souls. Until they change what is bothering their own soul. So to understand this, that the prophet experienced on a level that we can ascend to, all we have to understand is how man strains his mind because of something inside of him telling this ain't right. It ain't right yet. It ain't right yet. So he strains his mind to come up with the right answer. And straining and straining and straining with not enough support or answers from the knowledge available to him or from an experience, something happened. And we don't know the whole explanation for it. We can't, but we know the experience. Something happened. And something else kicks in. Something else starts working for us that was not present for us in our makeup before. It's the intuitive powers. The intuitive powers start working for us. And all of a sudden, we're seeing things, but not directly with our rational mind. We are seeing it because of intuitive life, or intuitive power, intuitive knowledge. Right? Yes. You have no command over it. You don't know when it's going to come. You don't know when it's going to leave. All you know is it happened. That's alone to make me believe in God. That alone makes me believe in God. And, you know, science haven't ignored this either. Not the whole field of science. We have some thinkers in science, and in fact, it was a book written. That to me says it all. The book is called The Intuitive Edge. I mean, those who have that power working for them in their field, in their professional field, or their field of work, they have the edge on those that don't have it. And the only way you get it is that you strain your mind to find the truth. You strain your mind to find the truth. And I'm the old folks, they had a description where they say that the flinty stone, you rub it together, rub that, and it gives a fire. So here's friction. That stone is rough, and you making friction. You putting the rough against the rough. Like the mind that's straining, you accepting to strain against the strain. You're going to strain against the strain. So that's just like the rough rock against the rough rock. It all come to spark. And you can light something by it and have fire, a light, and something to walk. Then Moses saw fire. He said, I think I'll go there. Maybe perchance I will bring back something to warm us with. Not just light, but something to warm us with. Because it does both. The fire gives warmth and gives help to the vision. Light, so we can see by it. You see? So these are great things. Great things. Talking about this nature of man, the special nature of human beings. Say man, we're talking about mankind, all people, male and female. This special nature of man. God created this man with a spirit from himself. You know what he said? Yes. A spirit from himself. Now, how many of us are ready to deal with that? He said he gave to all. He didn't say, he didn't leave out any. Something of his spirit. That's the way they translate it. Something. Ain't no something. He gave to all of his spirit. Of his spirit he gave to all living things. And then gave the human being an additional help so that he would be able to grow beyond the fixed boundaries for non-human things. Gave him a free mind, free intellect, free thought, and free will. See, free thought without free will, still, is static. I mean, you'd be standing still. You got free thought but no free will, so you're going to stand still. And I know that type. Oh, they can think all the way to the planet Cyrus. To the star, pardon me, side. But they can't move down the street. Ask them to go somewhere, they can't go to the corner. Great doctors of this and that can't make any progress. Can't take one step down the road. Because they got free thoughts but no free will. Yeah. If you just thinking it ain't got no real power to go nowhere, man, you ain't gonna get nowhere. You got a big job to do. You all got to have some free willpower. Free will. You let somebody cover some dickens beads. And it's okay to have exercise, you know, just some spiritual exercise. But don't let him contain you in that opening of his dickens beads. You got to go outside. You got to go to the extremes of the earth. You got to look for find new horizons. Discover the wonders of God. They're everywhere. Praise be to Allah. Yes. So, if you have registered that one point that I want to make tonight, I'm pleased. And that is that man is created to be a complement, an extension of matter, and to pass the test and come back home to God. Not an alien to his material body, but a companion. It's like a man given a great role and responsibility. And God said he's going to be lonely. He's going to be lonesome at times. So let me give him a friend to go with him. The body is supposed to be your friend. Your physical body is supposed to be your friend. But you're the one that's supposed to take the body where it's supposed to go. The body ain't supposed to take you. You're supposed to take the body. Isn't there something? God give us a body that's carrying us, but in reality, we're carrying the body. Yes. In reality, we're carrying our body, not the body carrying us. The real truth is that we carry our body. Isn't that a simple truth? But it escapes most of us. Yeah? We think our body's carrying us. No, the body's not carrying you. You carrying the body. You become unconscious, the body falls down. So if you're carrying your body, then when your body wants to do something that it shouldn't do, who's responsible for it, your body or you? You carrying your body. So you responsible, not the body. You carrying the body. The body will wake up on its own. Right? But the moment it wakes up, you have to make a decision. Right? Body doesn't make a decision for you. Body doesn't say, hey, you got to go to work now. You say, hey, I got to go to work now. Right. How to pull this body up out of this bed. So you're carrying your body. So, you know, if I know that this is a baby I got in my arms, and I'm a sane man, I'm not going to let that baby make me do something that's detrimental to myself and the baby. Right? Right. So, you know, they exaggerate, in this world, they exaggerate the importance of our physical body. Sex, the biological drive, they exaggerate all these importance. They make us think that we have been fated to the fate of this material body. I'm talking about modern science now. You can't escape the sex drive. There's no such thing as deviant nature. To be deviant is nature. To deviate is nature. This is science. To deviate is natural. To do these things is nature. So they tell a common man that, man, and that's a license for him to do any and everything. But if they show us the plain truth, that really this material body is not the boss. The boss is inside of this body. That God sent into this body from himself. Yes. Spirit. Purpose. Will. That comes from God. We have a will too. But God's will is in this body too. God's will is in me too. I have my will, and God's will is in me too. I have my mind, but God's purpose is in me too. I have my plans, but God's direction for me is in me too. In me. All this is in me. Living in me. And eventually, this is going to decide my destiny, whether it be hell or paradise. So if I keep ignoring consciously, I'm going to hell. Yeah, if I keep consciously ignoring, I'm going to hell. But if I will turn around and oblige the will of God in me, it sounds Christian to you, doesn't it? It's Islam. And I obey the will of God in me, then I will have paradise. Yeah. And the will of God is not for me to separate from the world. The will of God is for me to engage the world and to prove myself worthy by taking up my matter and taking it, that matter, to the destination. I'm not talking about only this physical body, not this biological body, but my responsibility in the world. I must take up my full responsibility in this material world and pick it up like I take up this body in the morning, to take it to a job or wherever, or to take it to rescue a friend of mine. Pick it up and take up your whole responsibility in the world and take it to where Allah wants it to go. That's why we're here. That's a test. And if we do that, we'll be very, very successful. We will be the leading ones. We'll be foremost in the path of God. Yes. And God says, the foremost will be foremost. Yes. The foremost will be foremost. Meaning that if you will accept to go the full distance with God, you're going to be ahead of all others. That's what it means. And I made that commitment myself. I have some good days, some bad days. It's like I told my little son. I said, Muhammad, I said, that's life. I said, the day might be worse than yesterday. I said, but there's another day coming after you go to bed. God willing, you're going to wake up, there's another chance. I said, just try to have more good days than bad days. That means you're making progress in the past. But more bad days than good days, you're backing up. You ain't making any progress in the past. Thank you. Well, Imam, so inshallah, tomorrow we'll begin studying the Quran and the person, life of Muhammad the Prophet, peace be upon him. In their power to speak to the universal community, to the international community of human beings, and improve the state of that international human being, of the state of the international body of human beings, to make more progress in the path of God, and that means more progress to realize the full benefit of life in this reality, as God intended. Full benefits. Islam is a message for the whole life of the human person. For the whole life of the human person. Human being life is a life of lives. Many lives in one life. We have moral life. We can lose the moral life, become morally dead, while we're still biologically alive. We can become rationally dead and still be biologically alive. So we have many lives within one life. Human being's life is a life of many lives. And we live and die and are resurrected in one life. Not many, just one. Just one. That's the spiritual life. The spiritual life. The spiritual life. But the spiritual life in a context. In what context? In the social context. That's why a prophet is described as a heart, and he burdens on his heart. And God revealed the relief to his heart. That's the social life. See? So when we are in our spiritual body, spiritual life, pardon me, in the body we call the social body, that spirit is not comfortable unless it's right. So if you take yourself out of the social body, put yourself in the right body, spirit can be comfortable. You follow what I'm saying? Yes. If you take it and put it in the out of the social body and put it in the rational body, it can be comfortable. Put it back in the social body, it can't be comfortable. And that's really what makes us the life living, not the rational. For the gems are rational. What makes us human and living is that we are social. We're social bodies. And the rational mind accepts what the social body accepts. The majority of people accept that walking down the street backwards is the way we tend to walk. You're going to find most of the little children start trying to walk down the street backwards. And they'd be laughing at us walking down the street front. Yeah. That's how powerful the social body is. Social body can make us do anything. We follow the social body. Or the bigger picture. You follow the bigger picture. The picture of society is much bigger than the picture of your one little self. So if the whole society does this, you tend to follow the whole society. Believe that's correct. You know, and it'd be terribly wrong. But because the society approves of it, put the stamp of approval on it, you do it. And then the others are wrong who are not doing it. You know, and they can make our children do the breakdown. Spin around on their head. Now you know that ain't healthy. That's not good for them. Spinning on the head, not comfortable. Spin on their back, spin on their shoulders, spin on their head. That's Satan. Satan showing, hey, look what I can do. See what I can do for you? You think you somebody? You think you human beings got something? Let me show what I do as a human being. I got you spinning on your head and enjoying it. Entertaining your mama. She's watching you spinning on your head. Look at that boy. Spinning on his head. But if you can get that boy to think about the direction for society and show him that if you can take that same boy and get him to see the life of society and how society has progressed and what has meant for progress, what it meant for failure, you can bring him back to his conscience and shame him out of that behavior. So the direction in the life is what's important. That's the most important. Society at certain turns of events, it might become suicidal. Do anything. But that's just a second in its life. Or a split second in its life. Go back and review his whole life. And you see all. It had many of these setbacks over a long period of time. But this accounts for its existence, its longevity, its continuation, its progress, its great achievement is because of this direction in the social life. God's purpose for the social body. You see? So from history, we can, with history, we can bring people back. But for the individual, his own spirit would eventually reject what's being put upon him that's wrong. And he would start to try to satisfy, bring peace to his own soul. That Abraham came to his God with Qalbin Salim, with a heart satisfied, at rest, at peace. He brought that kind of heart to God. What is that saying? Abraham was not satisfied to live with contradictions that were punishing, afflicting the society. He wanted peace for his heart. So he would bring these matters to God. He would get rid of them, throw them out, and those that he couldn't get rid of by himself, he took them to God so that he can have peace of mind, or we say peace in his soul, or heart that is at rest, a peaceful heart that is not tormented. You see? Because it came with his heart at peace, at rest. This is said of Abraham. So, you know, never give up. Think that the world is so messed up or it'll never get straight. Don't think that way. I mean, nothing can happen to this world to keep it from going where Allah wants it to go. The darkest day may be just before the sunrise. Yes. You may be thinking it ain't gonna never happen. That might be just the day, the night before the sun, before the day, before the new dawning. Maybe just one little night's sleep away. So don't give up. Hey, we got some pessimistic people in this community. Yeah. They sit down here on this hard floor now and say nothing. Go back home and say to themselves, ain't gonna be nothing that's gonna change. Nothing is gonna change. One sister told me, she said, oh, you work so hard. And when she said it, I read her thoughts. She meant for nothing. Oh, you work so hard. Oh, we just love you, Brother Matt. Oh, you work so hard. So I told her, I say, sister, big success just around the corner. Have patience and believe. Big success just around the corner. I said, I can see it. Yes. So, thank you again, and we have hope you we have a good night, good rest, and be ready to have our Fajr prayer in the morning, inshallah, and we'll have our discussion and Ramadan session tomorrow. We won't put a limit of 2 hours on it. That's if the day doesn't come before then. If the day breaks before then, we start with the daybreak. With the sunrise, we'll stop, and that's the practice of many of the pious leaders and students in religion, in Islam, to say the Fajr prayer and then read Quran or be in some devotion, mental devotion, until the sunrise. And then with the rising of the sun, they conclude it. So thank you very much. As-salamu alaykum.
Takbir.
Allahu Akbar.
Any points you need to make in terms of... Thank you.